and welcome to Pop a la Carte number 76. This week we have a little discussion of sad news, the loss of Luke Perry. Mm-hmm. A bunch of news to discuss, including like a plethora of trailers.
Yep.
And Captain Marvel, woo, because two of us have seen it, so we can talk about it. So that will be spoilery, and we'll give you a warning when that happens. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to talk about International Women's Day, because this should be going up on International Women's Day. Woo!
Success.
I am Valerie.
I'm Tatiana.
And I'm Angela.
Okay, so we're going to start with the depressing and just get it out of the way.
Yes.
So, Luke Perry died.
Yes, for those of you who don't know, he was rushed to the hospital. He suffered a massive stroke last Wednesday night, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Monday morning, he died in the hospital, but he was surrounded by like friends and family. So
I think they said that they had basically put him into a forced coma to try and give his brain time to heal, but the damage was just too massive. So yeah, I saw it right before I saw Captain Marvel, by the way.
Oh, like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, we were there like for a press screen of Captain Marvel, and then like it just popped up like minutes before, and I was like, well, this movie needs to start now.
We were like, and we need something happy.
Yes.
Immediately start the movie now.
So if anyone would like to share Luke Perry feelings or memories.
It's funny because I was never like attached to him, but I was the right age that Beverly Hills 90210 was a huge part of my childhood. Like literally the day that the episode aired where they graduated from high school was the day that I graduated from junior high school. And like the week that they graduated from college would have been the week that if I'd done 4 years.
Right.
Like it was perfect timing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember not wanting, cause this was before the days of DVR.
Right.
I remember not wanting to go to dinner after my high school graduation or junior high school graduation so that I could go and watch Beverly Hills graduation episode because it was so important. Cause you know, they didn't play it 85 million times afterwards.
Right.
So like, when was I going to see it if I didn't see it then? I don't even remember. I think we had to record it.
Yeah. You had to like record it on a cassette.
Like a VCR. Yeah. Had to break that out. So like Brandon was my favorite of the guys, but, still, I mean, that everything to do with Luke Perry and like that storyline was, you know,
right.
That it really impacted me. So when I interviewed him for the first time for Riverdale, there was a little, this is so weird.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. And then he was the nicest person.
Yes. He was so nice.
He was so nice.
He was so nice.
Yeah.
And everyone's always said he's such a nice guy. Like the actors, when they talk about him in previous, you know, interviews or years or whatever, would say like, you know, he's always like the one that's like making sure that everyone has what they need, like even crew members, you know. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he just really seemed like a father figure to the kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, I think it's really sad.
I saw I think it was John Cryer who tweeted something like he was a character actor trapped in a heartthrob's body.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, that was one of the, like, and you know, obviously he did have that problem where a lot of people were just like wrote him off because he was hot and
that, you know, that actually reminds me, like we were talking about this yesterday, the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie, which isn't that great, but him as Pike was like the best love interest that a Buffy has had.
It's true.
In terms of just being like, you know, like obviously he's got like the heartthrob, like he looks like a bad boy, but he's just like a nice guy who's like supportive of her and like just like wants her to like do her thing. And it's
something
like, I'll help
definitely
you out.
Didn't get from the guy.
Exactly. Like, I'll help you out when you need it, and otherwise I'm cool. So
bring him back in the Buffy comics.
Yeah. Wait. Are you serious? They bring him back? Is that what you said?
No, they should.
Oh,
they should.
No, what they should do is for this new Buffy show that they're going to do, they should have a Pike character, you know,
because
it's not going to be like a reboot. It'll just be, you know, so just have a dude named Pike and then write him like, you know, find someone that's like Luke Perry, because obviously the character would have just been whatever without Luke Perry.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then we can honor him that way. But yeah, I mean, it's just so sad to think, like, first off, like Riverdale, even though he's not like an important like character in Riverdale, but like he is like the most grounded character in Riverdale. He's like the heart of the show, essentially. Everyone else is just like wandering off, like flying out of orbit, and then there's like Fred Andrews being like, hey, listen guys, remember,
try not to be so crazy.
Exactly. Truth, justice, in the American way. So yeah, it's gonna be, I guess they're gonna do, I feel like they're probably gonna do like a Glee situation, you know, like they'll come back season 4 and just like have him have died off screen and then like start with like a like a funeral, I would say.
Yeah, because I don't, do we know how much they should be filming for another?
They're still filming, but yeah. They said he wrapped his scenes for the season.
Okay.
So he was supposedly done filming. And even if he hadn't been done filming, like Fred is like not like that major of a presence. Mm-hmm. And I think that they wouldn't want to kill him off via like Gargoyle King, whatever they're doing now. You know? Especially if he wasn't originally going to die that way. I feel like he would be like, I don't know, uncomfortable and like upsetting to kill off that way.
Yeah.
And instead, you know, probably just do it in like a vague natural causes or, you know,
yeah,
whatever kind of way.
That was the one good thing that Glee did, was that they never really talked about it. He just died.
Mm-hmm.
They just, you know, and they dealt with that loss, which I think is important, especially on a show that skews younger.
Mm-hmm.
In most cases, it is important to address that.
Right.
But yeah, the why or the how is not necessarily important.
And even, like, I know they shut down production on Riverdale, even though he had supposedly already finished the scene, so it's not, like, it's not for reasons of, like, writing, but...
Yeah.
So, to like,
I think they opened,
has time to...
It's Thursday right now, we're recording. They started back up today.
Oh, okay.
So, and I guess every episode for the rest of the season, at least, will have
the In Memoriam,
And he was, the day he had his stroke was the day that they announced that they were going to be doing whatever this Beverly Hills 90210 new thing is. And he wasn't part of the cast that was announced, but they have said he was
going to be guest stars.
Yeah, because obviously he had a commitment to Riverdale.
Right.
He couldn't be. But I mean, 2 years ago, somebody asked him and he said, hell yeah, he'd do it. So, yeah, he was planning to guest star.
Yeah.
Now that show has to.
Somehow. Right. I'm imagining they'll also start off that show with like Dylan, you know, being dead, which is super, super
now
sad.
It goes to a completely,
It's like,
it's really sad.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, he's an icon and a really great guy. So
I saw, speaking of Buffy, Sarah Michelle Gellar talking about how she grew up watching the show too, and you know, she's really good friends with Shannon Doherty, and talking about how now, you know, she was with her, like kind of comforting her because she was upset, and you know, that's one of the sad things, is like, obviously Shannon Doherty is a difficult person to work with, apparently, and she is not, she is also not part of the show, and I don't think she was going to be at all, so, but you know, the rest of them probably have each other to talk to, and she doesn't have that.
Right.
So it's kind of sad. Yeah. But obviously, he still mattered to her because, you know, they did have a relationship on the show for a very long time.
Yeah.
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 Sometimes.
I was definitely crying in the club yesterday because we filmed like a Gingerdale for that hashtag show.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were like, well, we'll do our favorite, you know, Fred Andrews moments this episode. So I was like looking for my favorite Fred Andrews moments and just like crying at Starbucks.
Oh,
I was,
no.
I was like, oh my God, this is so sad. but anyway.
Yeah. Is Beverly Hills 90210 anywhere that you can stream it and watch it?
I don't know. That's maybe a good question. Maybe it'll be on the.
Now they're going to want to, because they're going to be like, here, you need to watch all of it before it comes back.
Was it a WB thing or?
90210 was on Fox.
Oh, okay.
That doesn't mean they're the ones who produced it.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously it doesn't matter, but it was on Fox. Mm. And then the reboot,
It's available on Hulu.
Oh, apparently it's on Hulu. Okay. It was the, like, 90210, that show that they did for a little while. That was on the CW.
Yeah, it was on the CW, for a little while.
Do we know what, I don't even know which channel is doing the new one. I don't know.
I'm not sure if they know either.
They're just making it and somebody will take it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because nostalgia is where it's at lately. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Yeah.
So, sad times. Yeah. We'll miss you,
Luke Perry. Rest in peace, Luke Perry.
I hope his family.
Yeah.
At least they got to be with him. Yeah.
Right, they got to be with him.
All right, moving on to something happier.
Yeah, sort of. Arrow. No, just kidding.
Oh, we can just do that. Yeah, we weren't going to do that next, but let's do that. So, speaking of more CW stuff, Arrow has officially been announced now that it is ending in season 8 and only 10 episodes.
Right, 10 episodes. Which, just in time for Oliver to go Crisis on Infinite Earths.
It is really weird to me that they announced it, because everybody's like, well, all right, so he is dying.
Yeah. But I mean, honestly, in the show, if you watch the show right now, which I know none of you are, the flash forwards make it pretty clear that he's dead. Like, it could be like a fake out, but they're pretty much like, oh yeah, when my dad was alive, blah, 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 you know?
Yeah.
And of course, like, it started with Felicity being dead. And then of course they find Oliver and Felicity's daughter. And she's like, haha, of course she's not dead. She's just hiding. Mm-hmm. But she never met her dad. And she talks like she never met her dad. And unlike the Flash, she doesn't get time travel options.
Yeah.
So I think that they were already just planning on easing us into...
Because, I mean, their contract would be up at the end of 7, right?
Yes.
So basically they had to... They would have already been negotiating it. Mm. And he was probably like, I'm done.
Right. Yeah.
Because I think we talked about it before that he, I think, thinks he's going to have a bigger career than most of us expect.
I mean, and not just that, but, like, it also, like, is it worth it to continue to give them more to make them stay when the show is hitting, like, 0.2, you know?
Oh, it's that low?
Like, I mean, this last episode got 0.2. So it's like, wow. Do we need to renew it?
Yeah, really. If they really wanted to, they could always pull some of the characters to other shows.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But...
And I'm sure they'll do that for some of them. But it also depends on how many of the shows are staying for how long. But I'm sure they'll want to do guest spots. Oliver, though, will probably be dead.
So I feel kind of bad for the fans, as much as I don't care.
Oh, yeah, no, of course.
I mean, it always sucks.
Yeah, and not just the fans, because, like, at some point, like, the fans are probably like, as long as it has a good ending, I'm good.
Yeah.
But, like, also the crew, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, hundreds of people that it employs.
Yeah.
Well, is it a good ending? Like, I guess if Oliver's dead, like...
Listen, Oliver has to sacrifice himself for the greater good. He'll go out a hero. It's what he always wanted. He, you know, he's got two kids. So, what more can a man ask for? What?
Don't have a father now.
Who don't have a father, but they have Felicity, who is... Actually, poor William had no one. Poor William. I don't understand what happened there. He's like, Felicity and Oliver, just stop calling me.
Forwards too?
Huh?
Isn't Felicity dead in the flash forwards?
No, it was a fake out. She's not dead. She was like, surprise, bitch. Thought you'd seen the last of me. I mean, she didn't say that, but her daughter said that.
She abandoned her child.
Yeah, her daughter was like, she's not dead, you losers. She does this every other year.
William, and nobody cares about William.
Poor William. Well, his grandparents took him away because Oliver was not, you know, it was not conducive to a safe home environment for William to have villains constantly.
He's not really a suitable father.
Exactly. Dropping in every other week to try to kill him. So the grandparents were like, we're taking him. And then this last episode, I think, or last two episodes, it's like Oliver and Felicity keep trying to call William and he doesn't respond. And then in the flash forwards, William's like, Oliver and Felicity just stop talking to me. And I was like, they're clearly calling you in the present. So obviously your grandparents were like weirdos who were like screening your calls or something and wouldn't let you talk to your dad. So
that's not nice.
Yeah, I know.
Which,
right?
I mean, if my grandchild's father was Oliver Queen, I might.
I mean, there is that. Yeah, that's fair.
Come on. So yeah, poor William. But that's okay. At least he's found his sister now.
Oh, that's good for him, I suppose.
Yeah, he's very excited about this.
He's like 12 years older than her?
Yeah, more than 12. Probably like 14 years older than her. Okay. Yeah, he's pretty old.
Because he was like 12, I think, when he was introduced, which was right when I stopped watching.
Yeah. So yeah, he's a much older brother. Much like Oliver is a much older brother to his new sister that has also come on, just as William found his sister, so did Oliver find his other sister. We love parallels. So.
Joy?
Yes.
I guess that...
Maybe the crew can just all start doing Batwoman.
There you go. I guess Batwoman is filming in Vancouver. I think it's going to be filming in Vancouver, so... Because I know they filmed in Chicago for the...
Oh, did they?
Yeah, for the crossover, but that's not going to be the thing.
Yeah, it's not going to be...
But yeah, honestly, ever since Oliver traded his destiny for Kara and Barry to survive whatever that last crossover was, it was very obvious that that was the end of the road.
Because I watched those.
Yeah.
Because Matt said they were actually decent, so I did watch them, and they were decent. And yeah, it was like, well, somebody's dying.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not Barry. So
Because that's the number one
show. Exactly. That's the number one show on the CW. So.
So that's not going anywhere anytime soon if they can avoid it.
Exactly.
But this does prove that at least one of the rumors was true.
Yes.
So. Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
The next one is probably going to be that.
Carlos is leaving. Yeah.
I'm speaking my fingers in my ears. No.
La 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 la.
If I can't hear it, it doesn't exist. All right, so aside from Arrow, we did have some, you know, things will be born into this universe, even as other things like Arrow exit.
Yes.
Things like a new Deadshot.
Yes. That's right, that's the character he plays, right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, this universe, the DC, as long as we count, are we going to say that the movies are a different universe?
It's a multiverse.
It's a multiverse. It's part of the multiverse.
Yeah.
There we go. Yes. Because Will Smith is unavoidably detained or whatever.
Yes, scheduling conflicts.
Meaning, I don't want to do the movie.
Right.
Probably. Idris Less Elba is... I think they have said... Like, it's not official.
Right, it's like in talks.
But he's the only one that James Gunn wants.
Yeah. So. And the irony... This is not really irony. I'm just a genius. Because... I was saying, last week when it was announced that Will Smith couldn't be part of it, I was like, okay, listen, the reason why Suicide Squad made so much money, despite being garbage, is because of Will Smith and Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
So not having Will Smith is a huge problem, unless they replace him with Idris Elba. It's the only thing they can do. So
I think that... And obviously James Gunn agrees with you.
So here we are.
I mean, it's Idris Elba. It's a great choice, and now he doesn't have any commitments to the... MCU.
Right.
Unless something different happens. I know.
Didn't he want out of the MCU? But, I guess that just maybe tells me Deadshot would have a big role.
Yeah, Deadshot is like the male lead of Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, if he wasn't interested in doing comic book stuff, but it's maybe the size of the role.
Right. And also.
Did you guys ever see Losers?
Losers, no.
Oh my god, that was amazing. Mm-hmm. It was pre-MCU, pre-everything, mm-hmm. and it's so... Idris Elba's in it. So is Chris Evans.
Oh.
And, Supernatural Daddy.
Supernatural Daddy. the one that looks like Javier Bardem, but is not.
Why am I
blanking? Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan is the lead. And Zoe Saldana's in it, too. It's so good. Mm-hmm. The comic's really good, too. But the movie is so good. And it was like, I really want to see more of this. And then they never made more. That was, I think, like one of the first things I remember seeing Idris Elba in.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of the first big things he did for the NUS that I know of, that I saw. Yeah, it's so good. It was playing recently, so you guys watch it if you can. But yeah, so he's done a lot of comic books already. Now he just needs something that, because that was always, like, Heimdall should have had.
Yeah.
He deserved better.
Heimdall did deserve better, that's true. But yeah, so I think it's the best move they could do aside from just, writing it to be a different role.
Yeah.
And then casting Idris Elba in that role. But, because, the awkward part is, the recast. Because, obviously, it's, not a familiar face anymore. You're like, oh, we get to, be reintroduced to this character.
Yeah.
But it's worked before, so.
What we're hearing out of Suicide Squad 2, which, I put down, I was like, I don't even know if that's what it's called. Because it almost sounds like it's a complete reboot. Mm-hmm. So it almost could work.
Yeah.
As, we're just going to ignore the first one. But I have no idea. We don't even know for sure that Margot Robbie's going to be in it, although she is. I mean, she probably is.
The fact that she's already in Birds of Prey, suggests that she is willing to continue to be in DC films. So
you'd assume so.
I would assume so.
Who knows?
If they don't get her, then it's going to be really weird. Got to have someone, I think, to anchor it. Yeah, people do love her. People love her Harley Quinn. And also, I just think that you need someone so it doesn't feel like it's just, a totally, okay, another Suicide Squad, just, take two or whatever. In that case, just recast Amanda Waller and just do the whole thing over again. Recast Harley Quinn. That'd be super weird. Don't do that.
He's a good choice.
Yeah. What, do you have any thoughts on this, Angela?
No, not really.
Okay, moving on
to another James Gunn related project. Because now we're going to start our plethora of trailers.
That's right.
There was a new trailer for Brightburn, which is it's not really Superman, but basically the story is, what if Superman went bad? What if he was evil?
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So And but really, really, really evil.
Super
evil.
As a child. Super evil. The worst that Superman could possibly be.
It is Superman the horror film.
Yeah. I guess it's like, what if Zod came? What if Zod came to Earth, I guess?
Yeah.
And what if Zod was raised by...
he definitely does not look like a nice little boy.
No. It's like, yeah, it's kind of like, what's that called? You know what I'm talking about? Insidious. It's like Insidious, yeah. But Superman.
Yeah.
I really don't know. I'm seriously, like, I was watching the trailer, and I was like, how could anyone prevent this child? Like, how could he be stopped? Unless you have Superman in this universe. I don't understand. Yeah. Unless the power of love at the very end, you know.
Or it just ends badly.
Right, I guess it could just end badly. Like, and then the world ends.
And
the end.
He really does take over the world. Yeah. Something like that.
Is his mom's name Martha?
That's what'll save us all.
Let's hope so. That'll do the trick.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it looks interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I've never liked the Superman story, to be honest. So I've never been able to relate to it. So it almost feels like, okay, yeah, sure, he's evil. That makes sense. Because It makes as much sense to me as like the regular Superman story. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I want to like it, but I never have.
Right.
So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we will. We will see. Fingers crossed. I mean, yeah, it was definitely like, I feel real bad for, I literally have just forgot her name. You know, Elizabeth. Yes. I know her name is Elizabeth, but what's her last name? Go. Banks. Elizabeth Banks.
We are the worst.
I don't know how I could forget that. I love her. But anyway.
I know, same. Like, at least I got her first name.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I feel really bad for her, though. Like, I was like, dang, she just wants to protect her son. But yeah, I was telling you when we were watching it, it's like we need to talk about Kevin, but with superpowers. Like, reverse, we need to talk about Kevin. Instead, now it's the mom that's being told, hey, listen. And the mom's like, no, he's just a growing boy.
A growing boy who kills people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The part where he's like, I want to be good. I'm like, I don't think you do, kid, because you're not even trying.
Yeah, you're not. You didn't try real hard. You didn't try. And that little, like, smirk, like, when he first, like, he put his hand in the whirring thing, and then he was like, mm-hmm.
The bottom part.
I can do lots with this.
Yeah, it's like, oh, look, I'm invulnerable. It's like, oh, this is bad.
Yeah.
Because he's way too excited about that.
Exactly. This is not going well. To be a hero, you've got to, like, not want your powers. Because, right?
like, we
know this is, like, the old.
Yes. Yeah, there you go. You deal with the powers you were given, but you didn't actually really want them necessarily.
Exactly.
Unless you wanted them only to take down somebody who was already evil.
Right. Exactly.
It's basically, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you don't want them for their own sake. You don't want power for power itself.
Yeah.
All right.
Another trailer.
Yes.
We'll end with Game of Thrones because I feel like that's going to be more discussion. But Good Omens. Angela, you were the one who was talking about like being afraid of the Good Omens trailers before this because they weren't showing the rest of the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
there does seem to be more, and I like that. I'll have to. I read it only about a year ago. Again, like it was my second or third time reading it.
Yeah.
Because Neil Gaiman is supposedly like such a huge part of this.
He's the
showrunner.
Definitely
changing some of the story. Like, there's the scene where they're like holding Adam's hand, and it seems like Adam is doing something. Like that is not there. So I'm interested, but since Neil Gaiman is so involved in it, I'm like, well, it'll be good. So I'm glad to see some more of other people. And the queen is good because that's a running joke in the book. So that was fun on the trail. He's got a car that the tape deck will only play queen.
Oh,
That's awesome.
Okay,
that makes even more sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not just doing what everybody else is doing and licensing Queen music. It actually makes sense for
that's
them.
Cute.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's
now we're looking there. When it was written in like the 80s, because that's why it's a tape deck.
Yeah.
There you go.
So that's they cute. Get to get away with it. yeah, I love seeing more of the other people, and I hope that there is a lot more of them, because it was still, you know, Azrael and Crowley heavy. But, I mean, their story, really what's at the center of their story, and that did seem to come across a little bit, was that they're supposed to be on opposite sides, but they're really not that different, and they both just really love Earth.
Yeah. So they want to save it because they like their place.
Right. That makes sense. Well, yeah, I mean, I thought it looked like a fun, like a grand old time.
Yeah.
You know? Definitely.
I can see more of, like, the actual story as opposed to this kind of a vague idea of needing to save the world.
Like a buddy cop comedy, but with a demon and an angel.
Yeah.
And now we get to see actually some of the shifting plot lines, if you will. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, it looks fun. Somebody was complaining about the special effects. What do you guys think? There's a couple parts that look a little cheesy, but I kind of feel like some of them are supposed to
look exactly. I feel like it seems like it's supposed to be cheesy, like a cheesy story. So
it doesn't really...
The effects...
It didn't bother me.
No, I wasn't bothered by them. But I'm rarely bothered by effects, unless it's taking itself really seriously and the effects are not taking it very seriously.
Which does happen a lot, unfortunately.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited about it. Yeah. It looks fun.
I think it's going to be fun.
I'm excited to see the Hellhound because I'm predictable. And I was like, yay, the puppies and the...
The hell puppy.
Because that's the whole thing is that the dog, he's like a Hellhound, but kind of a normal dog too. Mm-hmm. Because like Adam is raised as a normal person because he was like accidentally switched at the hospital. He was supposed to go to the son of, or he was supposed to be the son of the, well, he is the son of the British ambassador, but, or to the England, the Britain's ambassador to the USA.
Okay.
Because they figured like that was a good position for the Antichrist to be in.
Right.
But he gets swapped to the hospital with just a very ordinary British couple's kid. Mm-hmm. So he's raised like an ordinary British kid. And then when like the apocalypse starts happening, and like the Hellhound, like the Hellhound's like programming is to serve the Antichrist, like whatever the Antichrist wants. Antichrist is a normal kid, just Adam, and he just wants a dog. So the so Hellhound just starts acting like a dog with some like weird Hellhound side effects.
That's cute.
That's really cute.
Yeah, that's fun.
I was happy with that in there.
Okay. Do you think I should read it before the show, or should I do? You can be the voice of the person who's read it.
Right.
And I'll stay the voice of the person who's not read it.
That's a good question.
I can't decide.
I've always said that fidelity to a source text as an indicator of accuracy or quality of something isn't fair. So I'm sort of being a hypocrite.
Yeah.
But mostly I was a hypocrite when I was mad that it was going to kick out everyone else from the story and just be centered on
I mean, that's different, I would think. Because it's one thing like, why would you even adapt this if you're not going to adapt it? And another thing to be like, why isn't this detail from page 64 included in the film?
I guess I would say I would want anyone to read it because I really adore Terry Pratchett.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would be like, yes, read something about Terry Pratchett. And in some ways, I would rather people read it first because I think whatever you experience first usually ends up being what you like the best.
That's true. That's
true.
That's true.
So it would be like, you know, the book might suffer because if it is end up really different, but then you could just read other Terry Pratchett. That's all just his work. Yeah. So
when is it out again?
May 31st.
Okay. Well then I'm going to make the attempt to read it. So you can not make the attempt if you so choose. And then
do I own it? I don't think I own it yet. So I'd have to go buy it.
Yeah.
Which I have no money. So maybe perfect. Not. Maybe then I will be the one who can't read it yet. I really want to, but yeah.
And then the movie will inspire you.
There you go.
And then you'll go get the book.
Sure. Yeah. All right. Speaking of things that I watched before I read, and so yes, it has clouded my vision of the original source text. Yeah. Is Game of Thrones also released a trailer for the final season, which you can't see much of because it's so dark.
Yeah,
it's so dark.
There are dragons.
There are some dragons. There's the hoof of a horse of a White Walker.
There you go.
That's all you see.
Right. Sansa was there, and I love her.
Arya
was there, and I love her. Tormund's alive.
And Bendrick.
Yeah.
Dardarian.
Gendry's bald.
Yeah. Arya's running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought...
What from that trailer is that everybody's like, oh, Sansa's so totally gonna die? I was like...
Wait, people said she was gonna die from the trailer?
I was like, how? What?
I didn't see it. She better not. I will come for all your necks. If Sansa dies.
What would you do if they killed her in the show and then we get the books eventually and she didn't die in the books?
I would be so mad. That if we ever. Awful. Yeah. No. But they wouldn't do that. No, I mean, if she doesn't die in the book, she won't die in the show because they love her.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So if she dies, you can get mad at George R. R. Martin.
I feel like they. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But no. I don't think she'll die.
Hopefully not. A lot of people are going to die.
Yeah, a lot of people will die.
So it's like, who is going to die?
Yeah.
Theon's probably going to die.
Going to die, yeah. Anyone got any bets? You watch Game of Thrones, right, Angela? No?
Nope.
Oh my God.
I'm afraid Jon Snow will die again.
You're afraid? I mean, one of the three, Tyrion, Dany, and Jon, one of them at least is going to die, for sure.
Yeah.
I think Jon will die again.
I mean, it's possible because he's, you know, not really alive now.
I've seen some episodes. She just seems like more in charge than him. He doesn't really seem that focused on, like, he's been focused on, like, stopping the whatever, whatever. She actually, like, wants to rule and has, like, a reason to rule. So
right. He doesn't really want to rule.
But then if you take being the king of the north away from Jon Snow, what has he?
Yes.
I mean, aside from secretly being a Targaryen.
Yeah. She knows a lot for not watching.
Yeah, exactly. You do know a lot. You do know a lot.
Honestly,
Jon led them.
I can't remember why I had come up with this theory, but this is actually how I had felt for a really long time before it was confirmed that he was a Targaryen and before a lot of things went down. I've thought for a while that her story was going to be that she ends up having to step aside or even sacrifice herself.
Yes. Unfortunately, you're talking about Daenerys right now, right? Yes. Unfortunately, I feel that way too.
Yeah.
Because she's, first off, she doesn't know the people of Westeros, and even though, like, it's her birthright, or that's what she's been taught is her birthright.
Yeah.
It's not a place that she's lived. She doesn't know the customs. She doesn't, you know, like that time when she was like burning all the families and you were like, why are you burning the families? You need them. So she doesn't necessarily, she's not necessarily the best fit to rule. Not that Jon isn't the best fit to rule either. Obviously I think Sansa is, but she's not going to be the leader at the end. So I think that Jon, because as much as George R. R. Martin inverts the tropes of fantasy, they're still the tropes of fantasy. Like, Jon Snow is still the prince that was promised.
Yeah.
Like, who could have guessed that the bastard who's rising to the top is actually the rightful king? Oh my God, I can't believe it.
Yeah, because, like, with Daenerys, I feel like the story is kind of going to a... okay, monarchy isn't the greatest thing, and you don't need a person who's then going to subjugate everybody.
Right.
And as much as she did that scene where she tells, you know, Tyrion that she wants to break the wheel, it's like, yeah, but you still want to be queen.
Right.
And you want to rule.
Right. So what if end they actually do break it back up into Seven Kingdoms?
I could see that happening.
Like, where every person rules their own, you know, place.
And then it's not even necessary. Like, and they're basically working towards democracy.
Yeah, exactly.
So that there's, it's and then somebody's like, chosen,
and then the people get to vote. Exactly, they vote in their own little places.
You know, it's funny because I'm actually I started when the trailer came out. I was like, okay, it's time for the rewatch. So I'm like 2 episodes into season 2 now.
Oh, nice.
And I was like watching it, and I was thinking, I'm like, you know, it actually is probably going to end up not as like barbaric as the Dothraki are, but more like that, where they choose a leader as opposed to it's, you know, descendants and whatever.
In that case, Daenerys could stay in Dragonstone, and Jon would probably want to stay in the north or whatever, unless they're together and, you know, have a baby or whatever.
Which supposedly they are seriously in love.
Yeah, they are so in love. But
I want her to murder him so that she can, when she finds out he's a Targaryen.
There you go. She'll murder him.
I'm not watching the show at all. I'm just like, I'm done with men. Kill him.
It's so funny to me, though. Like, I don't know if you, like, have seen this, but it's just so funny to me how, like, there's Jon and Dany shippers, and that's canon.
Yeah.
And then there's Jon and Sansa shippers. And they're all, like, fighting over, like, which is, like, the superior incest. And I'm like, can we all agree that you're all incest? It doesn't matter.
Incest is bad.
Exactly.
No matter what.
Incest is not the way to go.
I was like, if you don't see it from, like, the Targaryens, we had Joffrey as proof
that incest you don't want to really do bad incest. Because exactly.
We go, yeah, they grow bad.
Yeah, which is also why, like, I can't imagine Jon and Daenerys ending up, like,
together?
Because again, like, that's literally his aunt.
Yeah.
That's his aunt. So it's like, is that, and also the Targaryen king went mad in the first place because
they inbred.
So it's like, you'd think, so one of them's gotta die, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Or they've gotta separate some other way. And no, I don't want him to go with Sansa suddenly. Like, oh, you're not my sister, you're my cousin? Let's do this. but.
Which is actually worse. Like, genetically.
Genetically, aunt and nephew are worse. But psychologically, he thought Sansa was his sister his whole life. So,
yes.
You know.
So and that's actually...
to be fair, the Starks also, Ned and... not Ned. Ned's mother and father were also first cousins.
Oh.
So it's not like cousin incest.
It's not in this world.
Normal for the... you know. but again... He already thought she was a sister, so it's not.
Yeah.
We're done with that. We're done with that one.
When I had forgotten until watching it again that everybody was like Arya and Gendry in the beginning, which was so, well, it's also, I can't help but think, I'm like, what was she, 14 or something?
And the problem is because they cast
30?
Because they cast old ass Joe Dempsey is the problem. Yeah. But in the books, they're super cute and it's adorable and they're totally in love, like babies are in love. And yeah. And then actually there's like a whole thing, whatever, it's fine.
I do ship that.
Yes, yes. And so now, you know, now
because I completely forgot about it until I was watching it again. I was like, oh, that's right.
And it's funny because they would interview them and Maisie would be like, yes, Arya and Gendry. And then Joseph would be like, no.
She is a child.
He did it because he was like, I'm too old.
Exactly.
Because like, how old is he?
I was like, thank you, Joe Dempsey. Like, at least for that.
De-age.
Yeah. We're going to pretend you're a lot younger than you are.
Yeah. And in the book, it's also more like explicit in the book. Because it's like she like imagines being like the whatever queen, I can't remember her name, with him as like her little like loyal knight guy.
He's 31.
He's 30. He's so old. Oh, God.
And
oh, he's so old. And he auditioned for Jon Snow.
Maisie is 21.
He auditioned for Jon Snow.
I couldn't have seen that. I mean, he's younger than I thought he was.
Yeah. You thought he was older than that?
I thought he was older.
Poor guy.
I know. Sorry.
I knew he was my age. I knew he was my age because of Skins. That's why.
He was on Merlin, and I thought he was old when he was on Merlin.
Oh, that's
even though he was playing something somebody younger. That's the first thing I knew him from. Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah. Anyway, Arya and Gendry should reunite.
Well, now she's 21.
Yeah, now
he's 31, so it's
like, what are they going to tell us? They're not going to have a sex scene. Like, I'm sure they'll just be like, reunion! And then, like, they'll hold hands. They'll be like, oh my god, they're holding hands! At the end!
Yeah. And then fanfic can take over from
exactly.
There.
Yeah. Fanfic will take over from there.
Yeah, it's just funny though, because like watching it, I'm just like, wow, all we have 6 episodes left, and all of these people haven't seen each other since season 1.
I know, it's ridiculous.
We need to see all of those reunions. Thank God we've already had most of the Starks together because.
But we haven't gotten an Arya and Jon reunion yet.
That's
right?
The one that everybody really wants to see. Yeah, that's the one.
It's going
to
be, It's kind of funny though, because like, I mean, like that's. That was like the biggest relationship, and then it's been so long since they've seen each other.
Yes,
you know, like they literally have since like
7 seasons.
Yeah, exactly. It's so crazy.
I know.
Oh my god. Anyway,
it just goes to show how well those first few episodes were done.
Yeah,
we want it so much, even though we hardly saw it. Mm-hmm. So
exactly, they were really strong opener, and hopefully the closing will be just as strong,
and they don't all die.
Yeah, hopefully they don't all die. Hopefully it doesn't become a long winter's night. And hopefully George R. R. Martin gets off his ass and finishes the book.
I expect at least half of the characters still alive right now to die, though.
Yeah, oh, yeah, probably.
At least.
But, yeah. I feel like they've
got... Of the major characters.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Who do you think is most likely to die?
Fuck, that's hard. Well, like I said, Theon.
Yeah.
Theon's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Cersei's got
to
die.
Cersei has to die, yes.
I don't think he's going to end it with all the people like, as much as he's always been about, haha, all the people you love are dead, I don't think he's going to end it with Cersei winning and everybody else.
No.
Or even the Night King winning. Like, it's that's not, we're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, the last book, it'll be the last book was always called A Dream of Spring. So, like, the last book is meant to be, you know. Like, obviously there's hope for the future, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Which means that the White Walkers can't win.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Unless it's like Bran closing his eyes as he, imagining spring as he succumbs to oblivion. Not likely. Okay.
Man. I mean, but I expect whatever it is to be, it's going to be bittersweet. It's going to be like, you got what you wanted, but at what cost?
Exactly.
And that's why I honestly think Daenerys is going to die.
Yeah.
I think it would make sense that.
Daenerys could...
Because she's been one of the big... Yeah. Like, for so long, everybody wanted her to be on the... I just don't think she's going to end up on the Iron Throne.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I also don't think she'll end up on the Iron Throne. So she may die. Tyrion may also die. Okay, so Cersei's definitely going to die. And then Jaime or Tyrion will die. I don't think all three of them will be dead.
Yeah.
I think there'll be, like, one Lannister left at the end. Mm-hmm. Just don't know if it's going to be Jaime or Tyrion. And then of the Starks, I don't know that any more are going to die. Maybe Bran. And then... Like, and again, I don't think Tyrion, Jon, and Dany will die. So, like, if one of them is gonna live. But Bran's dead. He's already a tree anyway.
Yeah.
I think Sansa and Arya survive. because I want it to happen. But also, I just think that they do.
God, I can't, like, we have, what, 6 weeks left?
Yeah.
Davos. And then it'll be over so fast. Mm-hmm. Oh, Davos. Davos is probably the only one I actually care about.
I love Davos. Davos is my friend Amber's favorite.
I tried not to get attached to anybody because I learned that getting attached to people, because I didn't, like, there were people who died that I was like, I didn't know I cared about you.
Right.
I didn't actually know I cared about Robin, Catelyn until they died. I was like,
wow. You're like, I'm upset. Awful. I'm upset. I think that Davos's fate is to, like, watch everyone die. So I think he'll live.
I could see that. Because he already has.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But so then does Jon die? Because
you're right,
because Davos would make sense him die. If yeah.
Tyrion survives!
Tyrion is on the Iron
Throne. Which means Jaime dies. Okay, problem solved.
Oh my god, so many things. We're going to have like 6 weeks of like just dissecting this. Once it comes out,
be
like,
god. Okay. That's right. Remember when with last season, all of our podcasts,
every single one was Game of Thrones because we could not talk about it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. Not soon enough. Nope. I can't wait. All right, it's Angela's turn to stop for a while.
Yes.
Because it is International Women's Day. Woo-hoo. Woo! Because we have to have a day because every other day is International Man's Day. Sorry. So it is International Women's Day, which is why Captain Marvel is coming out. And also...
Which is why it's coming out.
Well,
it was created for International Women's Day.
They obviously scheduled it for this date.
Yes.
On purpose. Mm-hmm. But we're going to talk about some... women authors that Angela has to recommend to us. So books and reading. A little bit more.
I've been reading a lot. Yeah, so I've actually got five because I remembered another one.
okay, go for it.
I've been reading a lot, and these are all fantasy books, and they are all the authors. Yeah, they're all women. Many are women of color. The characters are very diverse as well, with a lot of diverse settings. So
cool.
The first one is probably one of my new favorites. Her name is Roshani Chokshi. She is an American writer, and she wrote some high fantasy that's like Middle Eastern, maybe a little Indian setting.
Cool.
I'm not good enough with my mythology to know completely. Mm-hmm. And the first book in the one series of hers that I read is called The Star-Touched Queen. And that is...
Yeah, it's a good name.
Yeah, no, it's good. And then its sequel is called A Crown of Wishes. And that's about a princess in, like, a harem who's, like, nobody else likes her. Everybody's, like, called her, like, cursed. Her mom died when they were young. Her mom wasn't very popular in the harem. But she's, like, her dad's favorite. But being her dad, like, the Sultan's favorite doesn't really get her a lot, necessarily.
Okay.
Did it, like, cause, like, jealousy or whatever? Like, people don't like her for that? Do people not like her because of that? Because she's your favorite?
Because of that, and they say that, like, because, her start, she was born under, like, unlucky, like, conditions. Mm. Like, all the astrologers said, like, that her reign will be death or something like that. So, like, everybody just, she's sort of like an outcast because nobody likes her. Mm. The only person that she has a good relationship with is one of her younger sisters in the harem.
Okay.
I mean, it's all half-sisters, right? Like, you all share the same father, but that's about it. And so, like, you know, events happen, as events do in fantasy novels.
Events happen?
And she ends up sort of with, or deciding to marry in order to get out of this, like, bad situation. Like, these, like, rebels, like, come in and, like, bust into the kingdom and they kill, like, a bunch of people. And she gets, like, spirited away by this guy. And he's calling him, like, the Lord of Death is pushing it a little bit much. Hmm. But he's basically, like, kind of an immortal-type being, and he has a role in, like, after people die, like, sort of determining what their lifelines are going to be and, like, how they get reincarnated and stuff, kind of.
Okay.
And so then, you know, she goes into adventures with that, and it turns out they've got, like, past life connections. There's a really, like, deep mythology behind all of it. So the first book is Star-Touched Queen, which I liked. It was pretty good. And then I liked the sequel, Crown of Wishes, a lot. She's the main character of the first one is really only a very minor character in the second one, but it's starring my favorite character from the first book, which is the little sister that I mentioned, the only one that she gets along with. She grows up.
Oh, okay.
And it's starring her. And then, and so she ends up having her fate entwined with a guy who, in the first book, was one of the people whose fate the main character like had to like decide.
Mm.
So they go off and do stuff. So it's a very rich mythology, really well written. She also has a book of short stories set in that universe that I read that I forget the title. And she had a book that just came out called The Gilded Wolves, which I bought on the Kindle, but I have not read it yet.
And it's part of the same universe?
No, completely different.
Okay, okay.
It, in Paris in 1899, the world is on the cusp of industry and power. So it's like seems like it might be a little steampunky. A historian who can't yet go home, an engineer with a debt to pay, a dancer with a sinister past. We'll hunt this artifact. There's like treasure hunt through the city. Like, yeah, it feels like a steampunky Paris 1899 book. I don't know. I haven't read it. So she's awesome. Shani Chokshi, I like her a lot. Cool. I like all these authors a lot. And then another one that I read that has a similar sort of more like a Middle Eastern high fantasy setting.
Oh, yeah.
It is this book called City of Brass by the author is S.A. Chakraborty.
Oh, okay. I've actually heard of that one.
City of Brass and its sequel, Kingdom of Copper, which I have on my library list, but I haven't gotten it yet, starts off in Cairo in the 1800s. It's while Egypt is under French rule.
Mm-hmm.
But the main character, she's like a grifter on the streets. She like has these abilities that she doesn't fully understand. She uses them to like eke a living out by like swindling people.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day she accidentally summons this djinn and gets pulled into all that craziness.
Mm.
And like pulled into like the djinns got their whole own city with all of its own like weird politics. And the author I remember reading, she was saying she was trying to examine what it would be like, what societies are like that sort of have these long festering like feuds that go back centuries. So she was like Israel and Palestine or India and Pakistan a little bit. So she's like trying to look at that. She's like, where you're sympathetic to characters on each side, but they just don't seem to be able to like get along.
That's really interesting.
Because their beef goes back like centuries.
Right.
Like, and the thing with this is like some of these people might have still almost been alive because they're djinn and they lived for centuries. But like, so yeah, it's really interesting. It's an interesting book because the author is white. She's married to a guy who isn't, so that is her last name, but she has some interviews where she's talked about it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it a lot because she's really acknowledged, like she's from New Jersey. She's a white woman. She converted to Islam in her teenage years.
Oh, wow.
And she talks a lot about how like she realizes that she has this privilege to like get into spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, and that she hasn't fully lived any of this, but like she's clearly done her research. She studied in Cairo for a while, and also like this is City of Brass was her first book, so like you know, it's not like might she be taking a spot from an woman of color author, like maybe, but like she's not yet in the position of power to be able to do something about that, you
right
know?
Right.
It sounds like she's understands enough that maybe one day when she does establish more of a position, she can use that to like uplift other voices.
Yeah.
And this is like, and Islam is a part in this book. Like some of the djinn converted to that as a religion for like political reasons. Like it's complex. Like I can't get into it all here, but it was really well done. It was like, I finished it and I was like, well, I need the sequel now.
Well, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
Yes. That Definitely. One is really, really good. The one that I'm reading right now is the sequel. So there's these two books called by Lindsay Miller, and the first one is called Mask of Shadows. And that one is about the hero is gender fluid.
Okay.
And it's in the book a lot. Like, they really want to call it gender fluid. They, like, hate how people, like, want to look at it as, like, male or female. They're like, I dress how I feel each day.
Mm-hmm.
And these aren't – they sort of want to – not deal with pronouns and everything. And I really like that. And the kid on the streets, thieving and whatnot to get by.
Yeah.
And then the queen of this realm has four assassins, and one of them dies. And so there's like trials held for the person to like replace, like for the slot of the new assassin. And so they go to the trials and it turns out it's like It's not like the Hunger Games, because it's not like the Hunger Games at all, but it's basically the trials end up being like death matches. Like, last person standing is gonna be the contestant. But it's more than just, let's throw all these people into an arena and let them fight it out. Like, there's all these complex rules they have to follow. Like, they're not allowed to harm any of the servants. They're only allowed to attempt to kill each other at certain times. They have to go to lessons in the morning, because, like, not all of them are good at, like, all kinds of weapons and stuff. Right. So there's, like, strength training and all this stuff. She gets lessons to learn how to match. Sal gets lessons to learn how to read, and starts wooing their tutor. So the second one that I'm reading right now, I'm almost done, is called Ruin of Stars. Because the first one, Mask of Shadows, does end kind of cliffhanger-y. I don't like this one quite as much. Part of it is, it's like a, it seems like a regular big size publishing house, but there's like a ton of typos. I have, like, the copy from the library, and it's really weird, and it'll, like, throw me off. Especially because I'm, like, reading while I'm starting to fall asleep, and I, like, will read a sentence over so many times because I'm like, did that not make sense because I'm falling asleep?
Like, your brain did not correct it?
Yeah, how funny.
So, like, it took me a little bit longer. The second one doubles down a lot more on exploring, like, gender fluidity or just pretty much any queerness. It doesn't use that word because it's, like, a fantasy world.
Yeah.
But really exploring that. It feels almost heavy-handed sometimes, just in terms of, like, it's literally the same exposition over and over again. Like, you have said this exact thing, and you've said it a lot, like...
Oh, that's...
You know, but... So maybe they still, didn't have a
very good editor?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Especially with typos, too. Yeah. That's what it sounds like, yeah.
Yeah, it just sounds like it was poorly edited. So I think it's that. But for a young adult novel, a gender-fluid protagonist is huge.
Yeah.
Because I read a lot. Most of these are young adult, because that's how I roll. And then the most famous, quote-unquote famous author on the list of books I've been reading is E.K. Johnston. So she's probably best well-known because she's got a lot of Star Wars books coming out.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But they're always focused on, like, there's one on Ahsoka, who is a character
from
Wars TV show. And she's got one that just came out. She's written one Padme novel before, and another one just came out, like, last week. And they're all really good. But I've read her original fiction. I've read Kingdom of Sleep by her, which was a Thousand Nights retelling. It's like a 1001 Arabian Nights. And oh God, it was so female-centered. I loved it. Like, there's a sultan. Not a sultan. He's basically a warlord kind of a king guy. And he is on, like, dozens of wives. He keeps marrying them, and they die. And he has to go to, like, each tribe and take...
Jeez.
A girl, and she sets herself out so she's picked over her sister, because her sister is, like, the obvious and beautiful one, and so she, like...
Oh, so that is, like, Hunger Games?
Yeah. She does it, like, she dresses in a certain way that, like, I don't know, so she's picked, and she goes, and it turns out this warlord guy is, like, possessed by, like, a demon thing, and so that's why he's doing it. There's, like, demon mythology in it that explains it in more detail, but so she's trying to, like, save herself and her family and the world, basically, while married to this demon guy, and not sure she'll live every night, sort of a thing. But what I liked about it was it's so focused on women in situations like these, and how they're all helpless, and they all try to help each other as much as they can. Like, the servants are cold to her at first, because they're so used to, like, people just dying all the time, they don't want to, like, get attached, right?
Right.
But then she's... keeps living, and so they do start to get attached to her in all the little ways they try to, like, help each other, even though they can't stop her from being sent to his bedchamber that night or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But, like, all the little things that they still try to do to try to save each other and look out for each other, and then the power that she ends up getting is because the demon was, like, he'd only ever, I mean, he's a demon, he's agendered, but he'd only ever looked at power and seen the masculine definition of power. And so he's defeated because he totally overlooked the feminine.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
So that book is awesome. I read a book by hers called That Inevitable Victorian Thing, which
I like that. Yeah, it's a good title.
It's AU. It's a little bit messy because she clearly had this really complex world-building idea, and I think she just...
Didn't
know how to go all the way through with it. But it sort of takes the idea that what if Queen Victoria had decided that rather than, like, being the queen on whom the sun never set on her empire. Mm. Well, she would, not giving it up, but, like, rather than just forcing white culture and British culture ever out of everything, saw that the only way forward in real strength for her empire would be to incorporate people into her, like, basically marry her kids off to noble families from all over the world and bring that, and bring, like, actual genetic diversity into, what? Like, cultural and genetic diversity into the throne.
I don't understand.
That's true alternate universe, because, yeah.
Imagine that.
No, it's total AU. And it, so it takes place in the modern day, whereas that had been the thing. So it's like the current princess, like, is black and all this and stuff. But then she ends up in a polyamorous relationship.
Okay.
With Canadians, because E.K. Johnston's Canadian, so any of her books that are set in, like, quote-unquote the real world, they're set in Canada. So, like, it has that huge, like, back thing, and it, like, kind of looks at it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Oh, she ends up in a semi-poly relationship with a character who's intersex.
A semi-poly relationship? Yeah. Why is it semi-poly?
Because they just sort of decide what's going on, and then the book ends, so I'm not really sure.
I see.
You never think how. So, like, she has to marry. Like, that's her thing. So, like, she falls in love with this intersex character who's, like, nobility from Canada, and they fall in love. But that same intersex character is also in love with this, like, guy, like, her childhood best friend. And they're like, what do we do about this? And it's sort of really heavily implied. Like, they kind of, it has them, the book ends when they're starting to figure it out. Mm-hmm. But it kind of foreshadows that, like, what happens is that the princess marries the guy because she's got to produce royal babies. But she takes the girl that she loves into her court, and they all just, like, work it out. Mm. Like, they all just have, like, a thing that happens. So it's kind of just like a love story with this, like, that's where it's, like, a little bit messy because it's got this huge idea of that AU world building, and then it doesn't really, it informs stuff, but it doesn't really focus on that very much. It mostly focuses just on this, like, summer love story.
Right.
And
summer loving.
And I read Naomi Novik. She's kind of well known for, the Temere series, where they're, like, steampunk dragon stuff. But she has two historical fiction books, and her most recent one, Spinning Silver, came out. And Spinning Silver is a Rumpelstiltskin retelling.
Oh, fun.
And Naomi Novik is Polish, and her first book was, like, AU Poland, and this one feels like it's fantasy Poland as well, about a Jewish family in a village. And the daughter, like, so they're moneylenders, but her dad really doesn't have the temperament for being a moneylender. Mm-hmm. So, like, nobody's paying them back money, and they're destitute. And so she takes over because her mom starts, like, dying of a cough. Mm-hmm. And so she takes over, but because of that, she accidentally attracts the attention of, I forget what they're called in the book, but it's basically the Fae. Because people start saying of her, she can spin silver into gold. Mm. Or whatever, because she's so good at the money lending. Mm-hmm. And so basically the Fae, like, tests her. And she does it because it's like, do this or die, right? Mm-hmm. But then if you succeed in my three trials, I'm going to take you and be my queen. And, I mean, she's not really into that either. It's like what she has to do about that. And then meanwhile, right before she leaves, she starts employing the daughter from this other really destitute family in town, and the father is abusive and the mother is dead. And so that girl was about to get married off, and instead, like, she works for this family and, like, sees, like, what a real family is going to become. And, like, that family ends up taking in all the children from the abusive father. Mm-hmm. The Jewish family does. And so she's a character, and there's also a character in the town, it's like the daughter of a nobleman, and she gets married off to the king, but it turns out he's possessed by a demon. And then through, like, fantastical circumstances, the first girl, the moneylender, and the princess that gets married off, like, encounter each other and basically conceive of a plan to pit their husbands at each other, so hopefully their husbands kill each other.
Oh, I love that.
So then we'll both be free of these horrible men that they're married to. Like, they're, like, because the demon is, like, fire, and the fae are, like, cold, and they like hate each other. And so like the women meet each other through fantastical circumstances and figure out like maybe our way out of our situation is to get the two of them into a room together. I know. I was like, yes. So that was pretty good.
I love how Angela really is like on brand, like man hating.
Except that like, I wasn't too happy with like the final couple pages of that book. I was super happy all the way up until the end. And
where she realizes her husband is actually a great guy and then they get back together and make out a lot. Is that how it ends?
It goes romantic between her and the Fae, and I'm not there for it.
Okay.
Basically. I mean, I would have been fine with it ending not romantically, but like them coming to see the situation that everybody else was in.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel like that part of that ending does not negate a lot of the found family stuff.
Okay.
That's also in the book. So, and then the last author that I have to recommend is Zen Cho. She is Malaysian. She lives in England now, and her first book, Sorcerer to the Crown, I wrote about for the site once.
Oh.
I read it just at the right time. It was like fall of 2016, right after the election, and it's basically this like madcap British story of, so it's like an AU England, Napoleonic era England, where there's like a sorcerer, Sorcerer Royal, I think is what the title is. And the current Sorcerer Royal adopted a slave. He was basically on a boat and saw a kid that had this like great magical power and adopted him.
Mm.
Of course, didn't think about his parents at all. Of course.
Who would?
Now he's dead. And the kid, his son, Zacharias, is the Sorcerer Royal now. Not because he's his son, but there's like reasons, something about the, and so he has to deal with like the sexism of the, or not the sexism, the racism of the old white British establishment being very unhappy that he's the Sorcerer Royal now and machinating constantly to get rid of him. And then meanwhile, there's this girl that was raised in like a school for girls with magic, and she has magic too, but her dad was this charming British guy who like charmed his way into the headmistress's school watching after his daughter, who he like, he went to journey to India and brought back a daughter. So she's always considered different because like, not only was she born out of wedlock, she's not white either.
Right.
And she's always put on the outside, and also women. So it's a school for women magic, but like the magic that women are allowed to practice is just very like tame. And it's mostly about how to like control it and not do anything with it. And so she's not having a second of that. So she, on her, you know, quest for autonomy, basically, what she is looking for a husband because she's tired of people judging her. And she's like, I just find somebody and I marry him who I can control and then I can do whatever the hell I want. Like, it will, being married will open doors to me that would be closed otherwise. So I'm just going to get that done.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have shit I want to get done. And she just trolls her way through this old white male British establishment, like, the whole book is very British madcap in terms of, like, Zacharias is, like, he was raised in it, so he respects, like, the way things should be done a little bit more. And Prunella is just, like, he tells her not to do the thing, and she goes and does the thing. Like, she doesn't care. And so I thought it was really charming and cute. But she opens his eyes to some stuff. Like, he loved the people that he saw as his parents, and she was the one to raise, like, to bring up the fact that, like, well, what about your real parents? Like, did they never care about them at all?
Yeah.
Like, they didn't even give a thought to them. Sad. So Zen Cho has the sequel to Sorcerer of the Crown coming out next week. It's called The True Queen, and it's a sequel in terms of, like, it's in that world, and the characters might, from the first one, might show up, but they're not, like, going to be the main.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It looks like it's going to be more exploration of magic that isn't, because most of the magic in Sorcerer of the Crown was, like, the British-European definition of it. And, in fact, there were, like, the first time Zacharias side-eyed his father was when his father like hears about this like extremely powerful magic from like India and other places, he was like, oh well, we have to go get that and take it.
Oh,
like that should be ours. And Zacharias is like, wait. You know, so there were, it was like a lot. So this book looks like there's going to be more of exploring these alternate magic traditions.
Oh, that's cool.
From the rest of the world. Yep. And that comes out on Tuesday, I think.
Cool. Next week. Then you'll have to tell us if the second sequel is any good.
I like it.
Well, I'm going to eventually. I'm sitting on all of my ebooks.
After we have watched and read Good Omens, we will read
there you
Well, yeah, I'll get around to the, like, I'm reading books from the library as much as I can right now. Well, I still can. So I bought The True Queen. So when it arrives, I'm going to sit on it until I can't get to the library easily.
Makes sense.
It'll be my reward for hard times. So that was a lot. I'm sorry, but I've been reading a lot.
That's all right. Well, that's all right. It's good. Someone had to read.
I know.
I don't even know what a book is.
It took me like 10 days to get through a corner. It's like, what?
That's I listen to audiobooks, and right now I can't afford to buy any audiobooks. So audiobooks are smart, though. Audiobooks, I should be doing that. Like, over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them are good. You have to make sure you get the good ones.
That's right.
Because, like...
Is your library a decent selection? Because all these books I've got from the library.
Yeah, you know what? I actually probably should just go to the library, because the library does have audiobooks. I've done it before. Last time I was broke, I did that. So I should try, because there are books that I really, really, really want to read, but I can't. You know what?
You can get yourself on the wait list now, because a lot of times there's only a couple copies of the audiobooks.
It's true. Mm-hmm. You know what are terrible audiobooks?
What?
The Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Song of Ice and Fire.
Yeah.
Those were awful. I felt really bad, but like when Roy Dotrice died, I was like,
"You were like,
I'm sorry that he died, but can somebody new re-record all of the audiobooks, please? That's horrible. I'm sorry. That's because horrible. He was not a good person for those audiobooks.
Yeah, it was a little bit.
Yeah, anyway. All right, well, before we let you go and do our Captain Marvel thing, I just wanted to say, like, see what you guys thought really quick. Not that we have time for more talk.
Right.
But apparently Bob Iger has said that the Disney Vault is going away, and he's confirmed that everything from Disney will be on Disney Plus.
Oh, okay. Well, thank God for that.
Which is interesting. But
does that include, like, their band stuff? Like,
that's my first thought was, except for Song of the South.
Right, exactly. No.
I was like, that.
We don't need that.
I was like, there's the asterisk. Right. Because that's not going to be on there.
We don't need that in our lives.
Yeah. But I just thought that was
Black Cauldron will rise again.
Yes. Everybody watch it. And my personal favorite, which is actually Oliver and Company. I love that movie. I don't know why. I was really attached to it.
I used to sing that little song to my cat growing up. That I forget what her name is. But the little girl that she would sing to Oliver.
Oh, yeah. I'm not cool enough to have like a, you know, down low favorite. Actually, is Rescuers Down Under Disney?
Yes.
Then there you go. That's my, like, undercover favorite.
That was one of the ones. My brother had movies because he's, like, almost 8 years younger than me.
Yeah.
He had movies that he used to watch, and when I was babysitting him, I would watch over and over again, and that was one of the ones. Oh. There was a period where it was Rescuers Down Under.
I love that. Yeah. But, like, my favorites are really, like, you know, like, boring. Mulan. Aladdin. You know.
Well, Hearts Can't Be Broken is my actual all-time favorite movie, and that is a Disney movie, so that should be on there.
Interesting. Hearts Can't Be Broken.
Live-action stuff from the 70s and 80s, too.
Oh, that's true. There you go. Well,
that
maybe...
is one of the live-action movies.
If all of that's going to be on there. Oh, Disney Plus. Oh, God.
I know.
Why do you think it's worth it?
The reason for the vault was to make you shell out money to, like, pay for
exactly.
all of them. Exactly, so yes. I guess this is the new, like... Discs, physical discs are so passe.
Exactly.
Yeah, we only buy...
I wouldn't be surprised if eventually they tier it. Mm-hmm. Like, they get everybody in, but then eventually, like, well, if you want the access to everything, and they think they're not going to do it, but it's Disney.
It's entirely possible they will do it. I'm going to try not to think about it. Anyway, all right, so we're going to let you go so that we can talk spoilers and not spoil you for Captain Marvel.
Okay, cool.
Enjoy it when you watch it, dear, and then come back and tell us your thoughts on it.
Bye.
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 We're going to spoil everything, so if you have not...
Literally everything that
happens. We're just going to sit here... Yeah. So if you have not seen Captain Marvel, stop listening now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So, I wrote my review.
Feelings, questions, concerns.
I'm still mostly, like, the things... I have to say, the things that stuck with me from it... are not about her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's the Stan Lee tribute, which I was actually looking down when it started because I was like, oh, it's just the titles. I don't need to pay attention,
Yeah.
And then I look up and I see and I was like, tears. Mm-hmm. Okay. No, it wasn't that much. But tonight it was probably a lot of tears.
Very affecting. It was very affecting, yeah. For sure.
And then the mid-credit scene, which is her.
Yeah, that is definitely her. But it's because of the tie to Avengers.
Yeah, and I was thinking about it as I was writing my review, and then over the last few days, I think I'm just over origin stories.
Oh, yeah?
I think that's the thing that's like... honestly, I don't think this was the best origin story they've done anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it, and I love her.
Yeah.
But as a movie, like, I did get really bored at one point.
And I thought it was when... interesting that they threw us into her and, like, you know, where she is now. Yeah. And then she had to piece together her origin story. So it was like an interesting way of going about it. But I did agree with, I can't remember who said it. Someone somewhere said that, like, they did a really good job with the human characters, like, and including her, like, making them, like, obviously realistic, but also, like, entertaining and, like, someone that you'd, like, want to see more of.
Yeah.
But, like, the alien characters...
I could have cared less.
Exactly.
The only one that was interesting is Yon-Rogg, just because... But I know... Like, I haven't read a comic with him in it, but at the same time, I do know enough about his character to know that he's going to be a major foil for her.
Right.
And then Jude Law is just really great to watch anyway.
Yeah. But, like, the rest of the gang, like, even like, you know, like, yeah, of course I know Ronan, and I know Jon Honsu, whose name I
can't... Jon Honsu, yeah.
Yeah.
And Minerva was like, I thought I would care about her, and then she died, and I was like, and okay?
Yeah. So the space parts were, like, a little bit, like,
it was just kind of there.
Yeah. The Skrulls I cared about. Once we got Skrulls, I loved that.
Which is not at all what I expected.
Right. I was expecting her to realize that the battle between them was, like, futile and the Kreens weren't good guys either.
Yeah.
But I wasn't expecting, like, the Skrulls to be, like, refugees that she was gonna protect, you know?
That was definitely a shocker.
Yeah.
I was like, but how, they're supposed to become the bad guys. How are they gonna become the bad guys now, right?
You know, there's a few bad apples in every...
Yeah, I suppose. Ronan is even worse than the rest of the Kree
at
some point, so maybe that's the thing, is eventually they do... find their own.
Right.
And then they're horrible. Does Talos come back and be an awful person?
Or hopefully not. I mean, hopefully they are just, like, hanging out somewhere else, and then it's other Skrulls that are horrible. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because, I mean, I was expecting them to be introduced in Endgame.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Right.
Like, as a, this is your next, Secret Invasion is your next problem.
But and I guess not.
Because otherwise, why introduce the Skrulls now? But it's like, maybe.
Unless, I mean, the only way to do it is, like, obviously this is, like, some that got saved and go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the ones that continue to be in the Never-Ending War, the Kree, or whatever. Mm. And then they get really bad, you know?
Which, you know, can't blame them.
Yeah, right. So, like, and then it's, like, you know, both sides are, you know how it is when you're in a Never-Ending War.
Yeah, because, I mean, we've only seen it once. And, like, our big thing is, well, for me at least, I can't really completely judge it until I see it a second time. Because, like, I'm overwhelmed the first time, no matter what. But, I mean, did they ever... They obviously kidnapping her and kind of torturing her was bad. But did they ever... Do we ever actually... Like, they copy people on Earth, but it's not like we see them kill them.
Right. They're not, like, doing... Yeah, I mean, and they didn't even kill the boss. He just copied them, yeah. He just, like, knocked him out or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so we didn't really see them do... And also... No, I was gonna say, like... It just reminds me, like, you know, not to be like, this is just, like, real life parallels, but, like, it does give you, like, sort of, like, the, like, she was talking, like, Israel, Palestine, you know, kind of situation where, like, both sides are doing stuff that you're like, oh, no. Oh, yeah. No. But.
It's true. It's very true.
But they both feel very justified in what they're doing, you know?
Yeah.
And then as people that we are not there, you know, we can obviously take one side or the other, but we are not actually experiencing the constant war, you know?
Yeah.
We don't know what it's like to live in that.
Yes. Definitely.
State of fear. So.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good point. Yeah. I don't know. But going back to what I was saying with the origin story part, it's like, I really do, especially if you look at my top five, it's basically either the second or, like, one of the Avengers movies. Like, it's late. They're not really origin stories because, I'm just not.
Yeah.
I think it's hard. I want the continuing story. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why one of the things that stuck, like I said, I love her and I want to see her with the rest of the characters so that I can see more of her. But what I really end up thinking about is not even the movie. It's that mid-credit scene.
Right, like, because the implications
I'm like,
for the...
Yes, because I'm like, ooh, what does that mean for the rest of this story? And I mean, that's probably why.
And the thing is, too, is like, origin stories, like, they are kind of painful. Like, there's only so many ways you can go, like, places you can go with an origin story. So it's like, you need it so that, like, you're like, okay, this is how the character started, great. But, you know, you also... conceivably could have just done like a 10-minute flashback sequence when you introduced Captain Marvel in a different movie.
Yeah.
But I mean, I still like what I did like you, it's not like specifically her and her origin story that stuck out to me, but like I love the way they use Nick Fury, for example, like getting to see a different side of Nick Fury. Mm-hmm. It's because it's not an origin story for him, but it is kind of like this is what he used to be like, you know. And then even quote unquote origin stories for characters, for side characters like Monica and her mother Maria, right? So like you get to see like, oh, Monica Rambeau will probably be somebody in these movies eventually, and this is why she will be that somebody. So like that's nice, you know. And then I really liked obviously the mid-credits scene, but also I always love the like, you know, the family, like sense of family or whatever when it's not your family. So her friendship with Maria I really liked, and how like they fell back into step after, you know, her being gone for 6 years or 10 years or whatever it was.
Six, I think.
And at first she's like, because she's like super awkward, and like it works because she doesn't know, you know, who she is or what she's doing. Yeah. But then like you slowly see her sort of, you know.
Yeah.
Open up her little layers, little onion layers, like Shrek when she's when she's with Nick and with Maria. So
yeah, I like that it almost works as its own introduction into the MCU. Like you could you know, because there's so many elements, like because it is set before even Iron Man put on the suit, and it does introduce elements that you like are familiar, but the way they're introduced, you know, it could mean something different to you, like the Tesseract being in it and stuff.
Yes.
Which is one of the things that I've had the hardest time not telling Matt about, because, like, we were watching Earth's Mightiest Heroes, and I was like,
gotta keep quiet. Yeah, that stuff, like, the way they introduced those kind of elements was also really nice. And then that we see how Nick came up with the Avengers Initiative idea. Yes. Although then I wonder, like, I was like, how many years was it before he found Iron Man after that? Like, what was he doing?
2008.
Yeah.
So like, it's 10 years later.
So 12, what happened? 12, 13? Like, yeah. Now we need those missing, we need like an animated series of the missing years.
13 years looking for a hero. Yeah. And there wasn't one until we finally got Iron Man.
Yeah. That was funny.
Well, like the Hulk would have been in that time period, but then he wasn't part of that. Yeah.
Right. It just kind of was like, oh, hey, what's up?
Did he look at the history and being like, hey, Captain America would have worked, but he's not around. Oh, wait.
Yeah, here he is. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there were some, like, little mini Avengers going on that, like, you know, got bigger into time and they just, like, died off or, like, retired or whatever. I don't know. We'll never know. We may know. We probably will know when.
Yeah, because we don't know when he found Hawkeye and.
Right. That's true.
Black Widow.
Mm-hmm. They were already around, so.
That's true. So, yeah.
So we don't know. There's stuff going on there. There's more to mine.
Disney Plus series.
Exactly.
Fill in the or Black Widow movie. Yeah. Fill in the numbers.
Exactly.
Yeah, fill in those holes.
So yeah. So it was definitely a positive addition to the MCU. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you that it's not like top five. You know.
Yeah. No. It doesn't. Yeah. Like Infinity War went. I think just breached the top five. It knocked the original Avengers out for me. Mm. This probably goes right in the middle.
Mm.
Like, I mean, I liked it, but, and I think I'm going to like it a lot more the second time.
Yeah.
But, my expectations were high anyway.
Right.
So, and I wasn't blown away, and I should have realized that, it is seeing this, and I'm like, yeah, I want the bigger stories where everybody's involved.
Yeah, like, I think
those are going to be my favorites now most of the time. Or at least a lot of them are involved.
Yeah, yeah, you want to see the grander scale things.
Yeah.
And I was like I told you this, I put it, like, on par with the first Captain America movie, like, in terms of it being an origin story for her. The only reason that I probably maybe put it, like, above it is just because by the nature of their stories, like, he gets ripped out of his story, and then he's in an unfamiliar time, and he doesn't get to see Peggy until she's gonna die, and he doesn't know what's happened to Bucky for all these decades, and, you know, whatever. It's, like, just sad and, like, unsatisfying. At the end of the first Captain America movie, I was like, I'm unhappy. Whereas at the end of this one, like, that could have been its own, like, just one film, and then you're done. You know? Like, I was like, oh, I'm satisfied. Now she's gonna go and help stop this, and her, you know.
I'm actually still really surprised, going back to the mid-credit scene, that's how we got her into the story. I was like, oh, okay, so it's going to be, well, somebody had spoiled for me that it was related to Endgame somehow, but I thought it was just going to be her on the other side of the universe getting the Nick Fury's page, or I guess it could have, like, as soon as they showed the Avengers, I was like, oh, okay, well, they found the pager.
Yeah.
I did not think that's when they get introduced to her. Same. I was like, wait, what?
I thought, like, I was actually getting ready to be annoyed because I thought that we were just going to have the pager going off and no response. And then, like, it dies and they're trying to fix it. And then that's the end. And I was like, I hate this. I can't believe this is a waste of a scene.
And then Black Widow literally turns around. Yeah. And you're like, oh, she's there.
Yeah. Okay. And I was like, thank you. Thank you for me having a use, having a purpose.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm glad. I'm glad now we can just jump right in.
Yes.
It'll be funny, like, obviously, you know, you're supposed to watch everything. So, like, you can't just go into Endgame. But it would be funny if that one reviewer who said that Infinity War did not introduce things enough. He's going to watch Endgame and be like, how did she get here? I'm docking 2 points.
It's totally going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I am, like, excited to see it again today and to see it with other people who, same. Like, are, you know, I know love it and, right. Like, I can't wait. And I'm seeing it again tomorrow because Matt wanted me to buy tickets for a second. I was like, but I will, but because it didn't blow me away, I was talking about getting the AMC A-list thing just so I could go see the 6 times because I thought I was going to want to. And I'm like, three's like, probably I'm good. Enough.
Yeah.
But Endgame, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to see at least 6 times in the theater. Probably opening week.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Because I can tell you right now, I'm like, I need to know what happens, and I need to know 85 times what happens.
Exactly. I need to digest it. I need to experience every moment.
Yes. I'm so invested.
That's like the end of the phase. And this is like the biggest phase.
So I was at the, I went to Joanne's today, and I have my Captain Marvel bag and my Infinity War wallet. And so the teller, she saw it and she asked me, she's like, oh, is that a Guardians wallet? And I was like, it's actually Infinity War. She's like, oh, she's like, how do you feel about Endgame? So we were having this discussion and I was like, yeah, I think Tony and Steve are.
They're off. They're done.
They're gone. I don't know how. I just hope Captain is. Give Cap his happy ending in an alternate universe. Just give me that. I don't know how I'm going to feel, because he still would end up leaving Bucky in that case, but we'll see. I still wish my Skrull theory would come out. True, but now I don't see how it can.
And I, now I feel bad. I'm sorry that I...
No, there's definitely no way I feel like I can.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? I like that she's the most powerful, because it's amazing watching her when she's just like, and she doesn't have like any training wheels. It's just, oh, sweet. I can do all these things.
Right. I love that it was like, it starts off with him being like, no, you need to control your anger or whatever. Like, that's what you gotta do. And she's like, oh no, you've been controlling me with that. Actually.
Fuck you. I could just punch her in the face.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he's like, we have to fight fair.
Yes.
And then she was like, no, we don't.
She was like, why would I hold back using the powers that I have so you can get a fair fight? Like, fuck you. You're a bad guy.
Exactly. I love that. Well,
she does then send him all back. And I was like, you could have just sent the pod back with the message.
Right.
It didn't have to be him.
Yeah.
But we need him as a villain. So,
right.
You know,
he's got to be around for the future.
Yeah.
So yeah. It was pretty good. It's pretty good. It wasn't, you know, just don't go in expecting it to be the best. Yeah. But it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Just go in expecting some fun.
Yeah.
Some throwbacks to things you
exactly.
like.
Great music.
Oh, the music.
Great. Blockbuster.
And Radio Shack references.
Yes, and Radio Shack. The more recently departed Radio Shack.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're down to only one Blockbuster, but I think Radio Shack's gone. They could have done Payless now, which is going away
so
too.
Oh, so sad.
I know, it's so weird.
I don't like this. I like this new world.
I remember as a kid, my parents talking about things that went away, like, and stores that went away, but that was so young that, like, I went to Gemco once.
Yeah,
so it didn't really matter.
Yeah.
Whereas my parents grew up with it, and I'm like, now it's happening to me, and it's weird.
It is weird.
Yeah. But best use of a No Doubt song in a movie.
She won that award.
Television show ever. Mm-hmm. That is an award. We're gonna cry. That was so perfect. And I think that was the other thing I said in my review that I really liked was that obviously it's a feminist movie because, well, it is if you just consider anything that's good for women is feminist. So, and unfortunately, in this world, it kind of is that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it never really, it's not like hammering it down, like down your throat, except for the choice of maybe that song and then the song of the end credits, the whole song.
Mm-hmm.
And the one scene where the guy's like, smile more. And then she's still on the bike. That was the best.
Yes, I love that one. I love that.
I liked that a lot.
Yeah, that little, like, face she gave him when he was like, why don't you smile? And he was like, oh, freak, a freak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, fuck you. And then she took his bike, and then there was a garbage song, and I was happy because garbage. Yeah.
She's going to give me the, hopefully, the courage to not smile when people tell me to smile.
Exactly, right? The problem is automatically I just do it. And I'm exactly. Like, I'm like, I didn't mean to.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I think that's it. We may talk about this again just because Angela has feelings, but she hasn't seen it yet.
Yes. And so she'll be sharing her feelings in the near future.
Yeah. Otherwise, we'll be, and we may have more thoughts after we see it.
That's true. That's true. After we've seen it one or two more times, then we will formulate new thoughts.
Yes. All right. Because it won't be as overwhelming, because it is always overwhelming the first time. You're like, yeah. What just happened?
Exactly.
Although nothing will overwhelm me as much as Infinity War.
That's hopefully.
Oh, God, Endgame I hope not. Endgame
won't do it anymore.
I don't know if I can take it.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for joining us for another Pop a la Carte. As always, you can follow us on withanaccent.com for news, reviews, interviews, etc. And on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, at withanaccent, and at withanaccent TV on YouTube. And the podcast is at Pop a la Carte Pod on Facebook and Twitter. I got through all of it.
That was amazing.
Thank you, and we'll be back next week.
Bye.